Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up for your trial today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Scott Chu.
Yo, everybody, and welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. My name, of course, is Scott Chu. Today is June 23rd. We are going to talk about some baseball. Let's get started with injuries and transactions. Eddie Rosario is having his vision reevaluated and hopes to get a rehab assignment sometime soon. Eloy Jimenez, speaking of rehab, is two games into his rehab assignment without any setbacks, and he's well on his way to a return. Danny Mendick of the White Sox, who's been quite hot of late, is getting an MRI on his knee. Luis Robert was held out with leg soreness, but reports suggest he'll be back in the lineup today, so keep an eye on that. Yasmani Grandal continues to improve, but will likely need a rehab assignment before being reactivated. Chris Bryant got in some work in AAA as he recovers from back issues, and he could be back within a week or two, maybe even sooner. Sal Perez got an MRI on Wednesday for his thumb. He's awaiting results on that. Zach Greinke will make his next start on Friday against the A's as he comes back from elbow issues. Edward Cabrera, who we're following closely, he missed his rehab start, but it's not injury related. It had to do with some family issues, so keep an eye on that. Carlos Carrasco will get an MRI to look at his bulky back after leaving his start earlier. He got wrecked for a bit, but we're going to take a look at that, see if he's injured. Zach Eflin threw a bullpen and could potentially still make his Saturday start. Joe Musgrove will be activated today to start, so give him back in your lineups. Wander Franco moved up to AAA to continue his rehab. Still looks on pace to be reactivated probably sometime this weekend. And George Springer had an MRI on his left elbow, so keep a close eye on that. Durability is not exactly a trait he's shown over the long term, so it's a little worrisome, but hopefully everything's all right. As for the hitting action from yesterday, I'll start with Austin Hayes, who went 4-for-4 with a double, a triple, a home run, and a single. That's right, he hit for the cycle along with 3 runs and 3 RBI. It was only a 6-inning game, so the fact that he was able to hit for the cycle is even more impressive. He's showing remarkable growth this season, and if you like guys who can hit 25 home runs, steal a handful of bases, and keep a plus batting average, you might like Austin Hayes. Javier Baez of the Tigers, he went 2-for-3 with a home run, 2 RBI, and a walk. And do you believe me yet? Look, after his last 7 games, he's had 3 doubles, a triple, 3 home runs, 2 steals, 2 walks, and just 2 strikeouts. I've said this a couple times on the last first few pitches. His hot streaks are game changers. You need to have Javi Baez active in your lineups right now. Yes, he'll probably turn back to a pumpkin later on, but the guy, when he's locked in, is as good as anybody. Aaron Judge, he went 2-for-5 with 2 home runs. You remember his insane 2019 hit over 50 home runs? That's what this season kind of looks like right now. If he stays healthy, it does feel like a 50 home run, 10 plus stolen base season, and he can even keep hitting like 290 to 300. So really on track to be an MVP. Along with Yordan Alvarez, who went 2-for-4 with 2 home runs of his own, he's got 7 home runs this month and 7 strikeouts. So I fully believe a healthy Yordan Alvarez will have a 50 home run season or two. Now, how healthy he is going to be a big factor in that. But if healthy, he is among the elite hitters in baseball. Carlos Correa, another guy with injury issues, he went 2-for-5 with 2 home runs as well. He's hitting .333 and slugging .627 since coming back on June 8th with 6 multiple hit games in those 12 starts. Jesse Winker of the Mariners, he went 2-for-4 with a home run, 3 RBI, and a walk. June's been much better for him, and Jesse Winker has back-to-back multi-hit games and has a home run in each one. The batting average is still gross, but a .395 on-base percentage over his last 86 plate appearances means Jesse Winker's continuing to generate volume in OBP league. A little bit harder in the standard leagues, but in OBP, he's been what you want. Isak Paredes, a guy you know I love. He went 1-for-4 with, yep, another home run. He's played mostly every day since June 14th, and 4 of his 6 hits since then have been home runs, which is weird because this is not a sellout for power type of hitter. He's actually more of a hit tool first type player that I thought was going to slap the ball around a little more. And you can sort of see that in the 15.2% strikeout rate on the season. I can't recommend him as a must add quite yet in your 10 or 12 teamers, but I know you've heard me and I know you've heard others on the site get excited. So just keep remembering the name Isak Paredes. Freddie Freeman of the Dodgers, he went 2-for-4 with a home run, 2 runs scored, and 2 RBI, and with 5 extra base hits in his last 4 games, I'm starting to think that the power he's been missing is coming back with a vengeance. So Be ready for that. Obviously, he was in your lineups anyway, but better days look like they're ahead for Freddie Freeman. And I'll also throw in a little bit about Julio Rodriguez of the Mariners. He went 2-for-4 with a double, 2 runs scored, an RBI, and a stolen base. And in the month of June, he's got 3 home runs, 5 steals, and he's improved his plate discipline. So, you guys, this is a special, special player. We're watching it in front of our eyes. Yes, he may have slumps or something going forward, but the way this kid can play is absolutely special. Starting pitching performances from yesterday, I'll start out with Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He went against the Royals. He got the win on 8 innings, pitch, no earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and a career high 13 strikeouts, 14 whiffs, and a whopping 43% CSW on 108 pitchers. And look, quite frankly, two-way Ohtani, combo Ohtani, as I like to call him, the one who can be both a hitter and a pitcher, he's the best daily league player in fantasy baseball, bar none, tier by himself. The guy is absolutely special. We are lucky to live in a time where we can watch Shohei Ohtani live or on TV. This is absolutely amazing. So please watch Ohtani if you haven't already. Know why everybody has nothing but superlatives to talk about the guy, because he's something else. Tarek Skubal, a guy I love, had yet another rough start. He went 4.2 innings pitched with 6 earned runs on 6 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. He did get 14 whiffs, though, on 99 pitches. And really, the problem here is he's locating poorly. He's leaving too much stuff over the heart of the plate. I know I've mentioned that a few times. That's just what happens for Tarek Skubal. This stuff still looks good, but until he can fix that location problem, it's going to be really rough, and you probably want to think about benching him until you start seeing better command. But it's not a long-term, oh, he's just, you know, he's no good. It's just a matter of he has a problem, and unfortunately, his problem is leaving balls over the heart of the plate. Not that he can't throw stuff, just that he leaves. Luis Garcia of the Astros went against the Mets. He got the win on 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. And while the line was maybe a little bit forgettable, the breakers look awesome, right? Again, he left a fastball in the middle of the plate just a little too often, and it turned into a couple of runs because that's just what happens, but really looked good with the breakers. Carlos Rodon of the Giants went against Atlanta. He got 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. Ace is going to ace, man, as Nick would say. As Nick even said in the roundup, Rodon is cooking once again. He's only sitting about 95 miles an hour, though he did toss it once close to 99. So, you know, a lot of this stuff is still there, and you should absolutely feel confident about him. Shane Baz went against the Yankees. He went 4.2 innings pitched, 1 earned run on 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He only threw 78 pitches here, and he should be ready to throw 90 to 100 pitches in his next one out. He should be in all lineups. There's a lot of talent. Uncle Charlie Morton went against Carlos Rodon and his Giants, and he got 7 innings pitched on 2 earned runs, 3 hits, no walks, and 11 strikeouts. And enjoy the ride, because Uncle Charlie looks back. He looks as good as ever. So have him in lineups, and don't worry too much for now, because there's a lot of good things happening with Charlie Morton. John Gray of the Rangers went against the Phillies. He went 5.2 innings pitched with 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. What you need to know about John Gray is he's pitching pretty well, and he gets the Royals neck. So if he's on your waiver wire, he needs to not be anymore. He needs to be on your roster. Tristan McKenzie of the Guardians went against the Twins. It's a tough offense, and he went 4.1 innings pitched on 6 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Only 77 pitches. I like the skill set here, but like a few other pitchers from yesterday, he just left a few too many pitches over the heart of the plate. This is not a skill degradation as much as it was a bad day. And then Lucas Giolito out. He went against Toronto. We all knew there could be some ugliness here, and there was. It was 5 innings pitch with 7 earned runs, 11 hits, 1 walk, just 3 strikeouts. And unlike guys like Skubal or Luis Garcia or Tristan McKenzie, I can't point to just like a certain number of mistakes that happened. Everything is out of whack for Lucas Giolito. Look, you might have confidence that he turns it all around. Just know that that confidence doesn't really stem from anything in the stats, right? It's got to be a human thing. It's got to be where I believe in Lucas Giolito, sort of like I believe in Tarek Skubal to turn it around, even though right now the numbers suggest that maybe he won't do that. We've seen him make adjustments before. We've seen Giolito make adjustments before. It can happen, but that, you know, you can't try to rely on stats to pull that out right. As far as relieving pitching performances from yesterday, I'll just talk about a few. Ryan Pressly now has 2 straight saves where his fastball has been at or above 95 miles an hour. He's been down about 2 ticks on the season compared to years past, but with the velo returning to something a lot closer, like 95 miles per hour, I expect him to further dominate and lock down this role like I know that he can. Clay Holmes may lose his closing role despite picking up his 12th save when Aroldis Chapman is back, but he should stay active in all leagues unless the guy's arm falls off. The ratios and strikeouts are fantastic. He's not quite as flashy as teammate Michael King, who also picked up a hold yesterday, but in all honesty, somehow, I think all three of these back-end relievers may hold on to some form of value and relevance in the vast majority of leagues simply because of the talent and the saves and the holds and everything else you need there. And that wraps up the action from yesterday. So let's now take a quick break and we'll be back.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
And we're back just in time to kick it off for the day ahead as we look to Mark with the weather. Mark, tell us what's going on, man.
Thank you very much. Well, after a rather busy yesterday weather-wise with watching Pittsburgh and Baltimore, we are back into the quiet pattern today. I don't see any rain issues anywhere. Enjoy it. A play away. Folks, I'm going to tell you, doesn't look like we're going to have too many of these the rest of the year. It looks like a pretty active weather pattern setting up. Well, we have plenty of time left, but in the short term, that being. Have a good one, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Much obliged, Mark. We do always appreciate it. As we look real quickly at the day ahead for some streamers or DFS or whatever, starting pitching, you could roll the dice here with Johnny Cueto. He seems okay. He's been able to work magic and go deeper into games against tougher opponents than the Orioles he'll face today. And Hunter Green takes on the Dodgers, but look, when that guy has his slider going, he can beat anyone, and it's a short slate with not a lot of options. As far as hitters go, I really like the Padres against Ranger Suarez, a lefty with a 5.05 ERA and 1.51 whip over his last seven starts, and the Marlins against Kyle Freeland, who may have trouble tackling the Marlins' main weakness of strikeouts, so I think that they might get a chance to take some real hard swings at Kyle Freeland's stuff, which certainly isn't overpowering. And finally, before you go, make sure you check out everything on the site. We've got the reliever ranks, we've got the SP roundup, we've got the batter's box. Those are every morning. There's also DFS articles and betting articles. You can also check out the new hitter list that published yesterday, somewhere around like 5 or 6 o'clock p.m. A lot of really big movers there that I think is definitely worth a read. And hey, if you want to listen to a longer form podcast, Wins Above Fantasy has a great episode coming out today. In fact, it should already be out. It's really a follow-up to my own episode of Hacks and Jacks with Joe Galina, where we talked about some of the gaps within StatCast. It's a further dive into that, something they've also been talking about over on the Wins Above Fantasy podcast. So definitely check that out. And with that, hey, everybody, have a great rest of your day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.